Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today is found in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, reading verses 11 through 16. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who made a good confession as a witness before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this command without spot and without fault until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will make known at the proper time. The blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or is able to see, to him be honor and power forever. Amen. This is our text. Dear people of God, last week we heard some of the Apostle Paul's last words that he wrote in the book of 2 Timothy to encourage preachers who came after him and really all of us to be faithful to the word of God until the end, as Paul saw his own end coming. Well, today's text goes backwards in time to an earlier time when Paul wrote something to Pastor Timothy. 1 Timothy has a much cheerier tone than 2 Timothy does. In 1 Timothy here, Paul still has his fire to keep preaching and to fight the fight of faith. Whereas in 2 Timothy, we hear Paul say that his battle was all but over. The thing that strikes me when I read these words of Scripture is how nuts the Apostle Paul was for the person of Jesus. The person of Christ is his essence, what Jesus is, what he remains forever. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but what does that mean? What does that look like? And what does that mean for us? Plus, if you noticed, Paul never says here in these words that Jesus is the Son of God. But you can tell by his words that he believed that truth to his core. Paul's amazement at Jesus' person really starts in his encouragement to Timothy to take hold of eternal life. Well, what eternal life is that? It can only be the eternal life that Jesus won for his people by shedding his blood upon that terrible cross and by rising from the dead on the third day. Jesus is the winner of eternal life, and by his love and his mercy and his grace, he gives that eternal life to us. And to Timothy, of course. In encouraging Timothy to continue to confess his faith before others, Paul mentions how Jesus made a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And I wondered, well, what confession is that? Jesus did not confess his sins to Pilate. Jesus has no sins to confess. No, Jesus confessed the truth to Pilate. We would call it a confession of faith. What he said to Pilate is found in John 18, verse 37. I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. You can tell by the rest of this section here that this is the confession that the Apostle Paul was thinking about. Paul mentions that our Lord Jesus Christ will appear one day in his own good time. Now, who can do that? Who can just appear out of nowhere after thousands of years of not appearing? See, it's very clear that Paul knew that Jesus was God himself. And then Paul starts piling up the praise of Jesus. He is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. If Pilate thought he was in charge and he was only the governor, then Jesus was the boss of his boss. All earthly rulers and kings are but dust in the wind in the presence of the King of creation, who rules all things, who made all things, and who will destroy all things. Of all people who have ever walked on this globe, Jesus alone has immortality. When everything is destroyed, Jesus is the only one who will stand yet. Now you will be tucked away in his paradise, but Jesus alone is before time and after time. Jesus is outside of time. It doesn't affect him. The Lord doesn't care what time we think that it is. And in his timeless existence, the Lord Jesus lives in unapproachable light, Paul says. Now, the book of Revelation, chapters 5 and 6, dives deep into this picture of this unapproachable light of Christ. It talks about the throne of God in heaven, how it has lightning flashing out of it, and this throne sits upon a crystal sea. Now, the only one who can come near this throne of the Father is the Lamb of God, our own Savior, Jesus Christ, who even joins the Father upon the throne. And when he does in the book of Revelation, not even the angels can look at him, but they have to bury their heads in the ground as they shout out, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And then Paul says something even stranger to Timothy. He says that no one has seen or is able to see this Jesus of ours. Then we think about that for a little bit and realize, well, wait a second. Lots of people saw him. When Jesus was in this world, people walked with him and they talked with him. And that's true, they did. But what they saw was a hidden Son of God. He was the Son of God, yes, absolutely. But this Son of God came in ultimate humility. He lowered himself to live among the sinners so that he could save the sinners. Jesus did not come into the world in glory, for like Moses, if he came in glory, then no one would have been able to look at him and live. But Jesus came in humility in order to live among the likes of us, in order to be our perfect Savior, just the one that we needed. But in his glory, no non-glorified human would be able to look at him. We have to wait until this imperfect is clothed with perfection. We have to wait until this mortal is clothed with immortality. When Christ reveals his full honor and power, then we will get a share of it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman Christians that Christ has accepted us into the glory of God. His glory will be our glory. So thoroughly has the Lord saved us that we get a taste, we get a share in what he is. The Apostle Paul really loved the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and is our perfect Savior. Now, in the middle of all this praise of Paul to the person of Christ, he's also encouraging Timothy with this: "I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things," and so on, "that you keep this command without spot and without fault." And that took me a while to figure out. What is this command he's talking about? Is Paul thinking about one of the commandments? Or did he say something earlier that he thought was super important? Well, it turns out this command is right here. All these little things that Paul tells Timothy to do, Paul actually sees as super important, and he wants him and all of us to do them until the end, until Christ comes. The first thing we should do until the end of time is run away. "Flee these things," he says. This refers to what he had been talking about. And what he was talking about earlier in chapter 6 is loving money and false teachers. Our world makes it very easy to love stuff, to think about stuff, either the stuff we have or the stuff we don't have yet and that we want. It very quickly becomes our God as it takes the place of Christ in our desires, in our hearts. Hand in hand with that, then, are false teachings. false ideas about God that sneak into our mind and take over. The current false god among us is this idea of individual truth. People claim that whatever you think is your truth. Well, good luck saying that at the end of time, as you have to stand in front of the God of the Bible, the God who painstakingly wrote out all of these things that we should believe. You want to stand in front of him and say, "Oh God, oh by the way, I just believed whatever I wanted to. I hope you're all right with that." Flee these things and pursue these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness, which are nothing more than the commandments, looked at with the proper attitude that Jesus told us to use as we look at our neighbor, to look at him with an attitude of love and the good of others, rather than selfish love and taking advantage of the foolishness of others. Fight the good fight of faith. This really should be fight the good fight of the faith, not just faith in general, because everyone in the world has faith. Everybody believes in something. Even the atheist has faith. He believes that God does not exist. He hopes for something that evidence screams otherwise. No, our fight is on the side of, for, the true Christian faith, the one that we bless you with when you walk away from the supper. Our faith is the faith, the only one that saves. For it is the faith that says that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the only way to the Father. It is the faith that this world and the devil are trying desperately to destroy. To keep this faith in a pure heart is the fight of all fights. But it's worth it. Stand on the side of the Lord. And the final part of Paul's command here is that we take hold of eternal life, because it's right here in the scriptures, in God's church. Do not walk away from it. Do not get lazy. Grab hold of it. Hold it tightly. Discipline yourself to read the word every day, to take it to heart, to think about it throughout the day. What Christ is and what Christ has done for us can change you. It changes every day into an opportunity for you to love and to thank God. See everything through the prism of Christ, God's own Son, come to give us eternal life. To him be honor and power forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.